Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And now about the EU Day, the 2nd of June. It's a very important day in European history. It's the 2nd of June 2015. It is when the EU brokered peace agreement a political consensus agreement was brokered and signed in Brno. That's a city. That's a part of the city of Skopje, the capital of North Macedonia. And why you think it's important? Why I think it's important, and it is really very important for European peace, because after a very difficult year 2015, which in many ways was the most difficult year for Macedonia since 2001, in this year 2015, and it's not a coincidence, it was very much at the moment, you know, the year 2014-15 was very difficult for Europe. The Ukraine war, Donbass war, the Crimean annexation, and in February 2015, the future of Ukraine was very much at stake. Never forget that. The Battle of Debaltseve, the Minsk II agreement, this was definitely a very complicated moment for Europe. And it was also the year of the migration crisis, the Syrian escalation, and all these things happened exactly in 2015. And obviously Russia on the rise, and also Russia obviously also very much on all battle fronts and all the areas where there was influence against the West to be deployed, it did. And what happened now in Macedonia? On the 2nd of June 2015, the EU and here Commissioner Hahn, the Austrian commissioner, who was responsible for the neighborhood at that time, it's unfortunately called neighborhood, but also Christian Danielsen, his general director for the DG enlargement. And I will talk why this matters very much, because it matters very much for Georgia, because this is now the director general, who has now a different function, has been appointed a special envoy for the Georgian European consensus, because now today in 21, it's Georgia in a big crisis. And here the role model of the Prisinu agreement matters very much. And it matters obviously for Macedonia, because just 5 years later, less than 5 years later, in March 2020, on the 27th of March, North Macedonia, the country having changed in the meantime its name, that's a big thing for a country, and also its alliance status, because North Macedonia, as a result of the Prisno agreement, and then obviously the Prespa peace, and a lot of other support mechanisms, was able to join NATO. And what a wonderful outcome that is for a nation. And what an amazing result that is. And it all started at the 2nd of June, when this agreement was signed. I will not read the detailed agreement, because I think that's on podcasts always complicated, but you can find it online. And it's the basic thing is to build a new consensus, a process towards democracy, to have objectivity reintroduced in the electoral and political system, and also to depoliticize the prosecutorial, the judiciary system, the prosecutor system, and to get this all Europeanized, basically. And that's so important, to depoliticize the judiciary, to clean up the court system and the prosecutor system, to depoliticize also the security services, and to bring forward a kind of European assisted electoral process. Because that's so important, because often the voting lists, the access to the media, the political party financing, the way to compete in the elections, and there's a lot of, and who can run, the control of the Central Electoral Commission. These are really important leverages to control a society and to transform a state into a captured state. And all this was addressed in that agreement, and this was a very important agreement, no doubt. But let me also describe more how bad the situation was in Macedonia in 2015. Because again, this is showing also how fast backsliding can happen if there is a lack of a European perspective. Because unfortunately, Europe has basically closed the door for Macedonia for too long. And what happened, that was basically also in 2005 already, Macedonia was a EU candidate. And that was granted in December 2005 already. So then in 2008 came this terrible Bucharest summit for Ukraine, Georgia, and for Macedonia. The Greeks basically making a kind of unprecedented show of defiance and anti-European, anti-American stand in Bucharest, and George Bush not, after several times to get Karamanlis to reason, was basically not able to do it. So then things really failed. And this was also the moment where things really got massively wrong. It was the moment where Russia massively started to intervene in Macedonia as well, I'm confident. But it was also the moment, the year at least, I don't know if it was really in Bucharest itself, but it was the moment where now more evidence is coming clearly to the public eye, because again, I don't have any, you know, I'm not I don't have any inside information. I read the things and I've seen some of the things. And what is now, because I'm not an investigative reporter or so, but I just read what is really now public knowledge, and I tell it to you. In 2008 started the so-called wiretaping scandal in Macedonia. This was the process which then, in February 2015, was by three whistleblowers, internal insiders, who were already working for the Yugoslavian Secret Service. Yeah? And they were the old guard of that Macedonian Secret Service. They saw what was going on since 2008, and was it exactly connected to the April summit and the defeat? Was that the turning point for Gruevski going so wild? Maybe. Yeah? I think yes. Yeah? But maybe it's a nice reading of him. Maybe he was from the start like that. But I think the events of April, of the 3rd of April, have turned a lot of conclusions that there is no EU future under that context, no NATO future as well. And so the internal mechanisms went for complete surveillance. And from 2008 on to 2015, when it was exposed by these three whistleblowers, which were then imprisoned, I think they are free now again, but these three whistleblowers, they collected all the tapes of over 20,000 state and public officials and businessmen and actors in Macedonia who were permanently super surveilled and taped all the conversations, all the SMS, all the correspondence. And then this exploded in a major scandal, because in an unprecedented kind of way, it was exposed how that country after 2008 was run. And despite it being such a kind of a world-class reformer in some aspects of taxation, of land management, of doing business here in Macedonia, and of digitalization, never forget. Yeah, but the digitalization seemingly was also having a dark side in that aspect. Yeah, no, Macedonia really did a lot of reforms, and it has many things, I think, even some countries inside the European Union have not achieved. Yeah? But unfortunately, there is this dark side attached as well. And what we know now, and what everybody knows, in this 20,000 people surveilled, yeah, is unprecedented levels of corruptions, meanness, political controls, cutting off the electricity of certain buildings where the prime minister knew that there is a tendency to vote for his opposition. And on the election day, he was cutting off the electricity in order to have the elevators not working, in order to make sure that these people cannot go to vote on the election Sunday, because they were mostly older people who got these apartments also in the Yugoslavian times. So the voting results was clear. So they will not get electricity on the election day. I mean, such kind of micromanagement and that's kind of mean way. It's unbelievable. But also major commissions and corruptions with the Chinese loans and all these things. and also the whole story about this Skopje 2014, this beautification process of all these monuments you might have heard of in Skopje itself, and everything, you know, from 2008 to 2015, all these things very well documented in the public eye. And obviously that was leading to a major scandal in 2015. And it led also, it added actually to the already existing student protest. And in 2015, there were major demonstrations then. The first one and the most important on the 9th of May. And it was already quite violent. No, on the 5th of May. Because that was a normal demonstration with violent aspects. Yeah. But then on the 9th of May, there was the so-called Kumanova attacks. And that's really very bad. That's so toxic. There was a kind of ethnic violence, possible stage managed by the Macedonian Secret Service. And I think, yes. Yeah. And this was really, you know, there was all over 18 people killed. Also eight Macedonian policemen, but also 10 of the attackers. And that was in Kumanovo, that's an important border town towards Serbia and Kosovo, in the east, towards Bulgaria as well, in the northeast of Macedonia. And such events, they were leading then to the resignation of the Minister of Interior, the Secret Service chief. But if it's really like this, and one day I think the evidence will be very clear that this was a kind of instigated, violent provocation, then I cannot believe how bad this can be. And it was, I think, and then continued additional protests, and, you know, everything was really at the edge of a real major crisis. Or it was already a major crisis, yeah. But then the European Union decided, and that time, and I generally want to express, because I'm quite critical these days about the European Union and the politics towards the Balkans and in Ukraine and so, and I think I'm justified and correct on that one. But what, from that moment onwards, yeah, from the, I would call it the June 2015 to the NATO membership in March 2020, not exactly, because then came Macron and derailed everything. So let's say from Prespa to Prespa. That is the peace agreement then with Greece in 2018, and also in between the Bulgarian friendship agreement. I think that was an unprecedented successful effort by the European Union to get things done and to work for peace. And I want to congratulate everybody involved. And it's also a role model for Georgia, no doubt about it. And for others, this was the best success of the Juncker administration. And it is a major progress for peace. And the surprise it is for me as well, it happened during it was Obama and 15, and it was then Trump. But this somehow happened despite all the lack of care for the Balkans, maybe. But they have to be accredited, because they were extremely important as well in that one. No, the American administrations and the embassies in Athens and Skopje, in Sofia. This was also the cooperation, I think, an example of how this can work if America and Europe, despite the differences on macro issues during the Trump era, this was really very well done. And congratulations. If ever there is a student of peace, and I'm talking about peace, but there are many academics out there who want to study and who study academically how peace is done and how progress can be done, the study of the Prespa agreement and the resulting Prespa agreement and NATO accession, and hopefully also now there will be wisdom again, I hope, and now with this kind of America is back and the European Union also in a new mandate, I hope there is wisdom to fast track also Macedonia into the Euro, into the EU, in this mandate, because we must be utterly lost if we now lose the momentum in the Macedonian situation. I think I made it very clear already in many podcasts. If you listen to some, you certainly remember. But this is really unprecedented opportunity now to get this done. And it's also a role model for Georgia. What is happening in Georgia is also quite similar. It has not gone to that level of violence, luckily so, and also not that level of disaster as Macedonia was now since 2015. But where's the similarity? Again, there is a complicated European country which is rejected or blocked or frozen by the internal, by the European Union ultimately, by European appeasement. There is a blockade. And it can be solved because the internal divisions are already exacerbated by the fact that there is no clear European future. And that leads also always to this short-term benefit profiteering in the political class. Because when you don't see a long-term future in Europe and in NATO, why do you behave good? If it's a 10, 20, 30 years perspective, it's beyond the lifespan, or not the lifespan, but the political career of all politicians for sure. So because a politician in a transition country, maybe 2 years, 5 years, who can say for 7 years? Nobody knows. Yeah? It goes so fast, and just very few personalities can stay on the top for a decade or so. And most of them disappear. So then he thinks, I'm now in power, I'm the person, I have access to funds and to opportunities, to decisions, my signature matters, and then I want to cash in fast. And this is exactly what happens with our conditionality. And the left liberals, they are dreamers, they don't know economics. They say conditionality is very good because I can bully, basically, or blackmail countries into good behavior. This is not the case. Because the personal propensity of the political leaders works differently. You cannot pressure countries in good behavior. You have to build a consensus with a realistic reward system for the whole nation, which is so realistic that there is internal elite pressure on good behavior because they understand that the target is there. If that kind of visibility and that kind of approachability of the target, NATO-EU accession, is somehow nebulous, disappearing in a long-distance future, then everybody rational in a powerful position, and these are naturally the political leaders who also make the decisions, they think, wait a moment, this is not the moment, it's my moment here, and get out of my way. And this is exactly what happened in Macedonia in 2008. And we have the consequent disasters. And it got completely out of hand in 2014-15. And then the intervention came. But luckily it came. And everything got more or less organized again in the right direction. And we really got our act together in the case of Macedonia. And similar needs to be done now for Georgia. And it's not a coincidence that the same personality was now appointed as the envoy who was the facilitator of that dialogue, not Mr. Hahn, the commissioner, but the director general of the DG Enlargement. He is now the head of the EU embassy in Sweden. We have this internal representation system of the commission in the member states as well. And he is now deployed as a key asset for the negotiations in Georgia. And I understand, obviously, the context is different. You know, Russia is much bigger in Georgia. And obviously, there was no kind of such a significant violence as Kumanova. There was no wiretape scandal. And, you know, every country is obviously different. But where are the similarities? We need incentives for Georgia. We need clarity. And here I say since 4 years, it's the Central European Free Trade Agreement, in which Georgia, unfortunately, still is not member. It's the Regional Cooperation Council, in which Georgia is, unfortunately, not member. It's the EU potential candidate status, together with this huge EPA funding system behind it, and all the competence and the rewards delivered by these instruments of pre-accession. It's the NATO map, and the NATO membership action plan of 2008, which was rejected for Macedonia and which was rejected also for Ukraine and Georgia in Bucharest. Yeah? And so we are there, I think so. And obviously my direct proposal to seal all this with the euro. So consensus between the political parties established on a real tangible EU and NATO and euro accession. And then exactly because Macedonia had the advantage already, the currency is already back to the euro. And so the Georgian currency is not, unfortunately. And this should be the result of such a kind of Prisno-style agreement. Best, you know, to copy it one-to-one. It's already there. Obviously, it is one of the key parameters is early elections. But a political crisis normally is solved by early elections and by agreed process to which both parties have to commit, also for the clearing up of the voter rolls, the process of candidacy, the supervision of electoral funds and the electoral processes in the Central Electoral Commission, and also media access. I mean, these things are always part of any such agreement. Without it, there hardly can be seen any kind of compromise. And this was how it was in Macedonia. It has to be the same also in Georgia. And also in order to achieve this, you need a powerful and also well-communicated award. And what the EU can offer? We are already subsidizing Georgia, so no more money alone is not an inspiring vision. Obviously it helps, but you know, you can obviously promise infrastructure. But Georgia has already some infrastructure. It's not a 0.0 for Georgia. What you need also is, of course, and what is rather simple, is SEFTA and the Regional Cooperation Council building a pre-accession alliance. Good, but that's not inspiring the people and the masses of Georgia and not pressuring the political elite into a kind of public consensus for European kind of treatment of the electoral system. What you need is obviously the things which matter most, and that's the direct NATO map, because that can be done very easy. It's just a decision ultimately, and it is Georgia absolutely ready. Georgia is already aspirant country. It is also very clearly that and the EU potential candidate status, that can be done within 2 months. It can be done in March already, in reality. It's just a status decision in the EU Council. You know, of course, Macron is against it, but he is against everything. Somebody has to talk to him. It must be the Americans, obviously. And it's the euro. The euro in the digital age we live in and in the highly digitalized Georgia, which is actually much better than many European countries in that aspect, it can be done with the click of a button. You just digitalize and say now it's the euro basically in Georgia. And of course you have to change the physical currency, but we have a lot of experience from all the countries where we have already changed experiences. So in the euro towards transition towards the euro, so that can be done in 3 months after the legal framework is decided. And then Georgia is euroized and it will be very clear for everybody. And that's an inspiring vision. And that's really something where the people, okay, that nobody in power in a pro-European country like Georgia can easily reject such an offer, because the resulting electoral defeat would be clear. Because if Europe is so serious and offers this kind of package, obviously also the politicians have to get serious. And then the membership of Georgia in NATO 24 and in the EU 29 suddenly is getting very real. And Russia can do very little to oppose such an attractive package deal for Georgia. And then some kind of early elections in the year 2022, not too early, not too late, but they can be part of such a consensus, because first, to get the opposition back in the parliament, get these all packages done and put it into law, and then do early elections. That would be, I think, the right format for Georgia in this 2021 crisis. It's not, you know, not everything the same like Prisno. It must be adopted, yeah? And I hope that is also the wisdom to seal it with the euro, because that's now the opportunity to get it done. And I think then also, if that all is done, I hope there is the chance for a real accession of Georgia, as now the president of Georgia has asked for so clearly. And now with the American president anyhow being very much pro-NATO, pro-EU, we have this kind of framework. And the success was much more difficult in Brno. I want to honor everybody involved, because the geostrategic situation of Europe and of America in the election year, in the war year, in the crisis year of Syria, it was much more complicated. But even then, such an agreement and such wisdom was possible, and it has to be celebrated as one of the major breakthroughs, maybe the only breakthrough since Croatian NATO membership in EU membership in 2013, where the EU had a strong lead on it. And that has to be appreciated as well. And it matters very much. I know, you know, a lot of people, they say Macedonia, Georgia, but we have to work piece by piece. We have to put all the puzzles together. So peace in Europe is only possible not on grandstanding speeches somewhere in Berlin or in Brussels. No, it is very much the key task to settle one conflict by the other. And all those involved in the Macedonian peace settlement of 2015, 18, 20 can be very proud for their lifetime achievements. That's a major thing which has contributed to European peace. And all those who manage now to get it done for Georgia, another opportunity for a European, NATO and EU-backed peace sealed by the euro in the spirit of Brno. And I hope that will, or Prisino, to put it like this, yeah, my pronunciation of that village might be not perfect, but I would like to close to remember that in the year 2015, yeah, quite a lot of people in Macedonia died, all in all over 20, and they died because of political violence. Yeah? And it was the wake-up call for the European Union really to get the act together, to intervene clearly politically and strongly, to put the right rewards on the table together with the American partners, and to avoid further bloodshed and further disaster. Macedonia was very much on the brink in 2015 at this moment, and it was a crisis moment. And maybe Georgia is as well at a very difficult crisis today. And I hope that this will bring the best out of Europe and out of the United States to really decisively help to develop a European consensus in Georgia now and to be similar successful. Just 5 years later, Macedonia was a full member of the NATO alliance. And I hope in Georgia, which is very well prepared and one of the best reforming countries, but on these political and also judiciary issues, there's the problem. And here's the other parallel. And here's also this token of hope I have, that in 2024, Georgia can be a full member of NATO as well. And then sit together with Macedonia as allies. And then please invite the other countries to join as well. And hopefully many will follow the Georgian and the Macedonian model to reform very well, and also to clean up the political system in order to be ready to be members of this wonderful great alliance of NATO and also of the European Union. Macedonia already in 2024 to vote in the European Parliament, but Georgia might be 5 years later in 2029 already send parliamentarians to Brussels and Strasbourg. And isn't that a wonderful plan to work for? Isn't that a wonderful, amazing result to dream and to also work for? And I hope that this will happen. I call it the spirit of Brno, and I hope it will inspire the Georgian political elite and the European and political elite as well. Celebrate the success of what happened on the 2nd of June 2015, and let's learn and apply the same lessons for Georgia, for European Georgia to be full member of EU and NATO as well. Thanks a lot for listening.